Hey there, this is Mike Tramp here. You know him from White Lion, but I've also done 11 solo albums. You're listening to Cobra and Fire, and rock and roll is not dead.
Hey, this is Danko Jones. You're listening to Cobras and Fire. Rock's not dead. You found it.
This is Michael Wilson of Queendrake, and you're listening to the Cobras and Fire podcast.
Hey, everybody. It's Ricky Rackman, media whore, the guy that used to be on Headbangers Ball, the guy that's got the Cat House Hollywood podcast, the guy that is telling you right now that you are listening to Cobras and Fire. Rock is really not dead. You've got it right here.
You are listening to the Cobras and Fire Best of 2019. What's up, my squishes?
Cobras and Fire. I'm your host, Luce Cannon, and I'm joined, as always, with a nitpicky Baco. How are you, sir?
I am well, Luce. How are you? I was not expecting nitpicky.
That's all right. I changed it on you a little bit. But you're doing well?
I am doing well, yeah.
Okay, good, good. Redo, next take. Welcome to Cobras and Fire. I'm your host, Luce Cannon, and I am joined with the nitpicky... Final take. Welcome to Cobras and Fire. I'm your host, Luce Cannon, and I am joined with the Rusty Baco. How are you, sir?
Apparently I'm a bit rusty. How are you this evening? How big is the town you're from? West Lafayette.
It's basically Purdue, and then once you go 5 miles out, it's straight up, you know.
Okay.
People shooting things right off the highway.
Okay. Well, I come from country. You know, I was raised on a farm. I hated it. I was ready to leave basically from the moment I realized where I was.
Cows?
But
did you milk
cows? Yeah, we had cows. We had sheep. We had our main crop was hay. But anyway. So I have a lot of friends and family still tucked in the smaller parts of the area. And that's, you know, every year I end up at a Christmas party at somebody's house out in the middle of nowhere. And, you know, as the presents are being opened, someone will have just a little bit of trouble opening a present and like, oh, does anybody have a scissors? And there'll be like three guys who are harnessed with, you know, deer hunting knives. Yeah, right here. Here you go, ma'am. I got you. And I've never seen them take these knives out for anything else. I'm pretty sure they're just for Christmas parties. I mean, they carry them everywhere, to church, to bingo, to, you know, McDonald's, to school, to work, even though they, you know, they work at like Walmart, but they have their knife until the boss finds out, then they got to lock it in their car.
Well, sure. Yeah. I mean, there's nothing better than looking at somebody that's dead behind the eyes and has a buck knife.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, you really want to ring out quick. It really sells the self checkout lane if you think about it.
It does, but
I see a lot of that at my Christmas parties and stuff of that nature. It's just a lot of simple, you know, simple men, diverse, like a crowd at Northern Invasion.
Sure, yeah.
So a lot of fun there. So what about you? What's it like tossing a Christmas present around at the old Cannon household?
Well, like I teased earlier, the mother-in-law is here for the next 2.5 weeks. And, well, it's not just her that visits, it's her wig. And essentially every day it's kind of like Elf on the Shelf. It's in a different place. You never know where it's going to be. And it's always surprising, you know. She likes to leave it everywhere, so that's nice. Before she gets here, I unplug all cable because otherwise it'll be Fox News 24/7. So that's all is done. But there's a lot of sayings she says that I find amusing, and it's mostly with the kids. Well, she'll say something like, "Stop playing with that," or "Be quiet," period, end of sentence. So I've started to say, "Guys, stop doing that," semicolon, end of sentence, sort of.
I just, when I hear that stuff, I do a total 360 and leave the room.
How'd you do that? You're still staring at her. I'm very confused.
Yes.
There's got to be a certain number of degrees you can turn to leave. I'm just not sure what that number is.
352.
Oh, 352, yes. Just go slightly that way. It's a lot of you know, suffering in general. She also sleeps for about 16 hours a day just to be able to have the energy to complain for the next 8. Speaking of hate listens, what have you hate listened to lately?
Oh boy! Well, our friend of podcasting ilk, Lee McCormick, ooh, stepped away from the squish long enough to for a couple hours to hydrate and listen to some Three Sides of the Coin. And Lee and I exchange messages occasionally on Facebook, but he's not someone that I talk to a lot. So when he sends me a message talking about Three Sides of the Coin, I figure, well, I gotta listen. Well, Eddie Trunk was on the show, and I really actually enjoyed Eddie on the show, but largely because I don't really care for those guys' opinions on what they were talking about, which is basically the current state of KISS. And I totally agree with Eddie on that.
Yeah, before you go into it more, I do have to say that there's nothing better in post-coital bliss than to fire up the Three Sides of the Coin show in the background.
He's got fucking two cans of Pedialyte and Three Sides of the Coin fired up on some earbuds. You know. I know I shared this on the group, and I got a little flack. You know, basically everybody thinks I listen to the show nonstop, and that's fine. I recommended a couple spots, but there was a point where Mankini kind of lost his shit, and he was like, I'm going to hold the trunk to the fire on something, you know?
Now, was this part you're talking about an hour and 5 minutes into the show?
So, exactly, yes.
So basically, they actually started with the actual content of the show an hour plus into the show. Is that accurate? Listen, with that. At least they're consistent, Baco. You can respect consistency, right?
Yeah.
Continue.
Well, we don't want to actually play a clip from the show because we know how that might work out for us in the long run.
Canada.
I thought it would be fun for the listeners if maybe we reenacted 20 to 30 seconds of it.
Ooh, 20 or 30 seconds of it. That sounds great.
For this reenactment, I will be playing the role of Eddie Trunk. And I thought you, because you do a fabulous impersonation of Mankini, you can be Mankini.
My eraser's well-worn, because I make a lot of mistakes.
Hold on, though. Before I do that, I got to go get some chips. Can you hold on?
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm Eddie Trunk.
And I'm Mankini.
Thanks for having me, Mankini.
Hey, Eddie, I make a lot of mistakes. You laughed, Eddie. You talked about people going to the VIP experience, paying for a guitar, and you laughed. It's very hurtful. I'm going to take you to task after I eat this chip.
I don't know what you want me to say. The albums I bought in the 70s said Ace, Peter, Gene, and Paul.
You know, Eddie, I had a VIP experience. It was wonderful. It was one of the most wonderful experiences of my entire life. I didn't pay nearly anything close to $21,000 for a guitar. In fact, for this, I'm a bargain shopper. There's a bag of chips, Dollar Tree, 2 for $1.
Please let me know next time Dollar Tree has a 2 for $1 on chips, because that sounds like something I'd be interested in. But back to what we're talking about, Gene and Paul consistently change the story to fit whatever narrative, and the fans just keep eating it up. I'm just saying, when's it going to be enough?
Sorry. You said Kiss fans eat up all this narrative. I've never seen narrative at the Dollar Tree. What kind of chips are they?
I was at Ace Frehley's wedding.
Uh-huh.
Look, Paul and I go way back. I don't know what happened.
I have a question for you, Eddie.
Okay.
Did you have the Kiss Army kit in 1978?
No.
Because I did. I make a lot of mistakes.
Talking about VIP experiences that you can get with all these bands. Gene and Paul have their own thing. We talked about Gene, you know, like every show you can buy the sword that he shoots, you know, blows fire from. In all 20 of them per show. Mm-hmm. Paul is selling his guitar, and for an additional $2,500, the guitar strap. None of this stuff comes with a ticket to the show, but all of it requires a ticket to the show, conveniently.
Oh, yeah.
Which is amazing, right? By the way, Gene is selling the vault on this tour. Yeah, same thing.
You kidding me?
No, here's the worst thing. It's like only 10 per show, and he comes out after the show but doesn't clean up. So you get sweaty makeup, full costume Gene for what? I mean, the guy's got to be feeling like looking at his watch the entire time, right? Like, this is not like the experience he was selling for the same price. But yeah, he's just trying to dole these fuckers out as much as he can. So I
before he sees you, though, he gives himself a nice polish with raw Tejas soap. Jim Crean
just kind of rubs it all over his face and it's kind of mushy. So yeah, he got this sweaty, smeared makeup, blood dripping everywhere, still in full costume, Gene. And he'll talk to you about anything because he is fully knowledgeable on all topics.
If I could just comment too, I always think that the second half of a Kiss concert is always hilarious looking at Gene because he looks like kind of like a drunk uncle after eating spaghetti.
Oh my god! Because
it's like just like right when he doesn't clean up, he's just got the blood half on his clothes.
Prior to we'll just say the reunion, he could pull it off. It looked because he was still young and thin. Now he is kind of like that, what you said, that uncle that like didn't realize he threw up spaghetti on himself.
That's what I'm saying. Ugh. So anyway, you get spaghetti sauce Gene for $2,000. Is it $2,000 or is he charging more now?
Yeah, it's $2,000. Yeah.
Okay.
A limit of 10 people, and you get to bring one guest. But yeah, that's going to be a rushed fucking situation. And again, you don't get to get it unless you have a ticket to the show, which is not included in the $2,000.
The photos you're getting from that have to be amazingly terrible. You know what I mean? Like, look, I just paid $2,000. I got this vault, and here's this sweaty 70-year-old man with just at the end of his day looking like he's about to go to sleep.
I want this experience less than what he was selling before. You know what I mean? I don't want it this way. But what about Tommy and Eric, man? They got to get in the game, right? What kind of VIP stuff would we have to have some ideas to help Tommy and Eric make a little extra cash on the side, right?
Tommy Thayer is selling his Epiphone Les Paul, which retails for $1,100, but since he played it on stage, it's now used and it's $200.
That's a really good deal. Plus, if you dress right, throw on some makeup, you might actually be in Kiss for a little bit. But Eric Singer also wants a little bit of this side action, you know? He wants to make a little cash on the side, just like the other guys. So the Eric Singer VIP package, when he comes to your town, if you're one of the lucky people to sign up for this, for $25, he will go out clubbing with you, assuming you're paying the cover charge, and he'll stand next to you and make you look taller to women. And the whole Firefest thing, I mean, just scam after scam where he would like, you need to give us so much money up front because this is a no cash event. So you'd have to put, like a few thousand dollars into a special account that you would then be able to, wristband thing. You could buy stuff while you're at Firefest. And that was how he paid other people.
Well, it's a Ponzi scheme. It's a Ponzi scheme with a fest, essentially. Yeah, until it ran out.
So I don't know. I mean, I found it fascinating. I don't feel bad for Ja Rule just because he's a fucking chump. But yeah, I think we need to kind of get our own little, we need to get back in the festival game. It seems like we didn't take advantage of all the, you know, money-making opportunities that were there for us at Cobra Fest. But what do you think?
I think our preferred headliner so far from the show is Aaron Lewis, though. I'm putting him down.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We need to rebrand, Lewis. We need to rebrand.
I really think we do. Cobras and Fire, F-Y-R-E.
Yeah, Cobra. Maybe. How about just Cobra Fire Fest?
Cobra Fire Fest?
Yeah, like there we go. I noticed you mentioned you already have a headliner. Look, who cares about the music, man?
True.
Enough. I'm telling you right now, we get Raven Simone to tweet about this shit. Boom.
Raven Simone, isn't that Punky Brewster?
No, you're thinking of, what's her name? She's Soup's hot now.
I know what you talk about, but is that some, Raven Simone's, that's the girl from a Cosby Show.
Yeah, yes? And that's okay. Raven, and she's a big Disney channel, but right. Huge influencer as far as I'm concerned.
So instead of going with a big orange square, what should our image be?
Orange circle.
Orange circle. Mm-hmm. Done. I'm writing notes. So far, I've got Aaron Lewis, Raven Simone, and an orange circle.
Yeah, but you shouldn't emphasize Aaron Lewis. He's a musician.
Oh, I'm sorry.
This is a music fest, Lewis. Get your head out of your ass. Now, we're going to have a chef from Denny's.
Okay, Denny's.
Like a private Denny's chef. You can get your grand slam anytime you want.
Wait. But are you talking about any chef, or are you talking about Steve from Denny's? Because Steve should definitely be on the list.
Yeah, Steve from Denny's is going to be there cooking you. You know, at any hour
moons
of the day.
Moons over Miami.
You want a moons over Miami? Boom, Steve's got it for you.
But would that be in on a plate or inside of a styrofoam square container? And will there? We need to get this off. On the list. Will there or will there not be arugula?
There will not be arugula. And as far as the serving platter, it'll be on something that's non biodegradable and non recyclable.
All right, so what about the location for
this
Cobra
is the
Fire
best
Fest?
Part, Luce. Okay, I wanted something like crazy, lawless, like outlaw, sure. Like Firefest, you know. So basically, this is not in one location. It is a moving location. Basically, the entire thing is going to take place along a 40-mile stretch where Jesse James robbed a bank and then was chased by police on horseback.
Ooh, I like that.
And the whole event takes place on horseback.
Okay, the whole event is on horseback, okay?
The bands, good. The stage, the fans.
The bands are on horseback?
Yes.
Okay. Well, they use orange amps because you need that for good sound.
Yeah, well, apparently. Well, yeah, if that's a must. But again, that's part of the music, and nobody cares about that. Okay, we need influencers, baby. We want Raven Simone. We got that chick from Punky Brewster who's really hot now. Well, she's probably not now. She's got to be like 50. But was, you know, in the 90s there. We got all this stuff going on, man.
What about the bathroom situation?
Yeah, I just pee in your pants. So there's a thing called a stadium pal. It's actually something I invented called urinal slacks. So basically, everybody gets a pair of urinal slacks. You know, that basically just you just pee as wherever you're at.
Hold on, though. But urinal slacks are just your pants, or there's something you just call them urinal slacks after?
Yeah, there's
the
a bag.
Show.
Yeah, like
there's a bag. Okay,
the entire lining of the pants is just one. Your pants is one big, you know, toilet bag.
I push my fingers into my thighs. It's the only thing that slowly stops the ache. But it's made of all the things I have to take. Say what I've gotta say.
So can we talk about the Super Bowl halftime show?
Sure, yeah. I mean, I think it's okay if we dabble in it once in a while. If we can't let it take over us too much, otherwise we just become Blame Your Brother.
I think you're right. Perfect. So let's go. Great show.
Yeah, great show. I love those guys.
So, you know, the thing about this halftime show that really kind of got my old man pubes in a twist was the fact.
Right now, everybody's picturing you with your you got a little gray bush down there.
Just wrinkled balls.
And if they weren't, sitting. Now they are.
I'm four beers into the Super Bowl, bored out of my mind, and all of a sudden, Adam Levine shows up on my screen. Right?
Oh, man. How far down the list did they have to go to get somebody that they ended up with Maroon 5?
You know, let's start with that because I have my comments on the actual performance itself, and people can talk about it and bust Maroon 5 and Adam Levine's balls, less wrinkled balls than mine. Are you telling me, and I didn't read that much into it, that people actually do have to pay to be on the show?
I don't know that it ever went through. I know it was being talked about a few years back, but yeah, basically the NFL wants like 10% of your tour proceeds following the event. I don't know if that's like, yeah, I wrote.
Let's just say some percentage. They want some kickback from you being the average.
Because you're benefiting from this, so they want some of that kickback. I actually wrote an article for Snark at the Moon on this where I said it's time for the government to bail out the NFL. They're clearly struggling for money that they need to, you know, tack on a 10% tax on performers' touring income for life or for a year. I don't know. It's just a joke. I mean, give me a break.
Okay, so there's that part, and then you also read.
Although if it's Maroon 5, I don't care. That's right. Actually, if it's anybody that's been on the Super Bowl halftime show the last 5 years, have at it. Fuck them. I don't care.
Right. But with that said, okay, so then you realize that it's maybe a pay-to-play kind of thing. You know, you're getting your product out there, which kind of to me doesn't make any sense because they're only taking the huge artists that don't need the promotion at the time. But going to your point, you're telling me, though, that a lot of people passed because of the whole knee?
Yeah, the Colin Kaepernick controversy, a lot of you know, I mean, artists tend to be a little more liberal thinking and look sure. at social causes. And they also think about the blowback from their peers. So, yeah, a lot Understood. Of people – I don't remember the names that were thrown out there, but I know some people said no.
So let's get down to who they actually have on there. Maroon 5. Now, you asked me if I knew five songs. I know at least Sunday Morning, the fucking Dances Like Jagger song, and there's a few others too. But I think basically they at least
Harder
had
to Breathe.
What is it?
Harder to Breathe.
Oh, yep, that one. That
she
one
Will Be Loved.
Oh, there you go. See, there's four. We're up to four already, okay? And I think those are all on one album.
It's
from
not over tonight. Just
please,
give me one
stop
more
it. Can we just get past this right now?
I was really hoping you would join in there. It would have been nice.
No, but, I'm sorry. It is Sunday morning, but I will not. Okay? So the point being is the only reason – this is – first off, what gets my pubes in a twist is the fact that they're – the only reason this motherfucker is on this show is first because 50 people passed before him.
Yeah.
And the other reason is because he is on The Voice. This has nothing to do with music. And I will give you the fact that Maroon 5 actually was a band that had human beings in it that played music and had some songs like 15 years
Were
ago.
Any of them what? There? I've never heard anybody talk about no. anybody but Adam Levine and Big Boy.
Point being is it doesn't really matter who the performer was. What I was appalled with is what a clusterfuck of production that this display was, to the fact that I had to leave the room because, again, too much for the old man Cannon to deal with, because there was no – listen, say what you will about Bruno Mars, Lady Gaga, Katy Perry, all those kind of things. At least they were a performance with shit going on, a flow – things of that. Bruno Mars, actually, I think, is pretty talented for his genre.
That was probably the last one I liked, but I don't typically watch.
That's cool.
Even this year, I didn't see it. Me and Ron Keel hit the hot tub and had a beer during it. How dare you say that my behavior is unacceptable, so condescending, unnecessary, but critical. I have the tendency of getting very physical, so watch your step, because if I do, you need a miracle. Dream of dying, make me wonder why I'm even here. The double vision I was seeing is finally clear. You want to stay, but you know very well I want you gone. Not
to fucking tread the ground that I am walking on. But when it gets cold outside, I got nobody to love. You'll understand what I mean when I say there's no way we're gonna give up. And like a little girl cries in the face of a monster that lives in her dreams. Is there anyone out there? 'Cause it's getting harder and harder to breathe. Is there anyone out there? 'Cause it's getting harder and harder to breathe.
I can't wait to get my my physical copy, like I said, so I can slap that sucker in the Bach Cruiser and just drive around, irritate my neighbors. But
right, I wonder some of your favorite songs. I mean, if you can,
yeah, actually, I got a handful here, man. If you got a minute,
absolutely.
Road Ready, you released a lyric video for that, and obviously, it basically all the lyrics are kind of a nod to other lyrics from songs of your career and moments in your career. Do I hear a little bit of Serenade in the music in the little bit of lead in intro?
Well, it's E minor. I mean, it's the same chord.
Okay.
Yes. Now that you mention it, there is a little similarity to that. I sat down to – we had the music, and I sat down to write the lyrics on top of it, which is not my favorite thing to do. I did have the chorus, Road Ready, of New Love. We're going to go to the C, D, E, Road Ready. I had the chorus written, but then it's time to write the verses, and I sat down, and I started – singing lines from my previous career just as placeholders. You know, you figure I need X amount of syllables here, and here's the melody, and kind of putting it together. The first couple of lines, I rolling down the highway in the dead of the night, and all these lyrics from my previous career, and I thought, man, that how cool would that be if I could just kind of pay tribute to me or my history. I didn't mean for to sound like that. Let's write a tribute to Ron Keel.
A shrine to myself.
But I realized that I had so many, well, I've got a large catalog, a pretty big body of work. So it wasn't hard to find phrases that rhymed or that fit.
Yeah,
and
no,
so
it
ended
good.
Up being, how many are there, Baco? Do you know how many phrases?
You know,
lines?
I didn't count. I mean, I know when you first threw it up there, you're like, see if you can catch them all. I probably caught at least 80% of them. But yeah, I mean, if you want, I'll spend the night. I'll get back to you in the morning. But
I'll give you a $20 gift certificate for the Ron Keel online store if you can name them all. Oh, there's 20. I'll tell you, there's 20 of them.
All right, so I can I can email you that, right?
Absolutely.
All right. Well, I very very cool track. Fight Like a Band kind of caught me off guard because I wasn't expecting it to kind of open up lyrically the way it did. Now, is that about it? Seems like it's about your wife Renee's cancer battle. Is that right?
Absolutely, yes.
Some dreams come true, and sometimes life has other plans.
Because instead of saying fight like a band, you say fight like a girl. And then, of course, you tie in the same kind of desire to fight, you know, in the second verse where you're talking about just trying to create a career for yourself.
That's correct. You know, I just sat down and wrote what I felt, man. And we've all fought together. Renee's part of the band, too.
Sure.
And we've all fought like a band through the adversity the last 4 years with having some amazing dreams come true, having our asses kicking right back. And during her bout with cancer, that's the band was built literally within days of her diagnosis. So we were the Badlands house band, and all of a sudden the plug got pulled. No more gig, no more band, no more tour bus, no more financial backing, no more nothing really. We had some gigs on the books for the next year. That would have been 2016. But we were a tough spot. And all of a sudden, it was the same time frame, literally within a matter of days, Renee was diagnosed with stage 3 breast cancer. And, you know, it was that was a punch to the gut, to say the least. And the band was built at that point when we had to make the decision, either I'm done because I'm not leaving. If she's having chemo or radiation or surgery, I'm not leaving. I actually did a gig, you know, on a day that she had a surgery. I was there for every surgery, not every chemo treatment, but, you know, it was a decision that I had to make that how am I going to keep going into this new challenge without any support, having to change the name of the band to the Ron Keel Band and rebuild and lead the thing myself, without the previous production entertainment group that had been behind us. I realized that Renee takes energy and joy and positivity from my energy, joy, and positivity when I'm singing and playing and creating and writing. I'm on top of the world. I'm who I was born to be. I'm full of energy and excitement and love and happiness. And I think she fed off that. And it was kind of obvious that I got to keep going.
Song is like a gift from heaven, so thank God I know what you mean. Now let's crank it up to 11, play a redneck symphony. This is my three-chord drinking song. I'm making up as I go along. Everybody sing along with my three-chord drinking song. I sing three-chord drinking songs.
And the Grammy goes to
Cobras and Fire. Thank you. Thank you.
Fan of Imagine Dragons, if I recall.
I believe,
or whatever. I don't. Is.
You know, I only know that. What's that new one? Lightning and the thunder and the thunder.
Thunder, feel the thunder. Lightning and the thunder. Thunder, feel the thunder. Lightning and the thunder. Thunder, thunder.
And what's they had one other one? Radioactive, right?
Oh, that's right. That's the one. That's the one. See, my kids, 5 years old and 8 years old. The
poor audience.
I want Baby Shark and fucking Imagine Dragons, bitches.
Well, all I know is that the lady that carpools drills those fucking songs into their heads on the way home. And they come home, they sing them. I'm like, no. My son, praise the rock gods above, has resisted from that, though. It's my daughter.
The Imagine Bro Dragons. I first saw them on the Grammys, and they played that song Radioactive. And I think I was somewhat familiar with the song, but I was really off-put by the performance. Mm-hmm. They performed the song, if I guess, okay. Like, they replicated it. But they were acting like they were playing punk rock music. And I'm like, you understand this is a fairly mid to slow tempo tune, man, right?
It's pretty plodding.
Yeah, exactly. And you're like running around like, fuck yeah! Waking up. They just played that, I don't know, some college football game, and everybody lost their shit. There was a lot of blowback about, like, oh, my God, I can't believe how bad this band is. And then I watched that footage, and I'm like, this is what they are, though. I mean, they didn't just exist. You know, I don't understand why this is the catalyst to decide they suck. They sucked 3 years ago. To get to where we're going with this, Corey Taylor has some things to say about this.
Yes, please.
He basically, a week or two ago, said that the Imagine Dragons have replaced Nickelback as the most hated rock band in the world. I don't know. Let's just talk about that real quick. Agree, disagree, don't care. Where do you fall in line with that?
I don't have enough knowledge about them. I just know that Radioactive is a silly song, and
it's not a good song at all.
And Believe is actually if Thunder and Lightning is their song, are you sure that's their song?
Yeah, Lightning and the Thunder.
Okay,
the Thunder.
That one is. Oh God, that's a fucking horrible song.
I think my reference is only Radioactive and Thunder. They basically, their songs are really just like candy bar commercials. Or for a car or a credit card. You know what I mean? They're not actual songs. They're like a chunk of time like that would typically fill a 30-second commercial stretched over 4 minutes.
Okay, so when you're saying that, I have Spotify pulled up, and the number of plays that Thunder and Lightning has is just under a billion. It's 994 million. Right now. And Believer, same thing. So people really like those candy commercials, is my point.
Sure, yeah. I mean, look, there's no arguing they're popular.
Jesus.
But they're also
a billion. A billion plays! I don't even think that there's a room for that number here. I've never seen that. I'm looking at this. I mean, I don't look at Beyonce's numbers and shit like that, but that is staggering.
Do not get the beehive going after us, okay? Yeah, they're relentless. And we're on Twitter now. They'll take us down, bro.
I'm looking at this. There's less plays in hers, in her songs here. I just pulled her up. These guys have at least double the plays of Beyonce. All the single ladies, all the single ladies,
all the single ladies, all the single ladies. Yeah, but that's a lot of hate listens. You know what? I think a lot of the Three Sides of the Coins followers listen to these guys. They're not just Imagine Dragons, they're Imagine Listeners.
He realized that she was new to love, naive in every way. Every schoolboy's fantasy she was, that's why he had to wait. If he poured his heart into a glass and offered it like wine, she could drink and be back in time for the morning paper.
I
ocean's side. Make a wish on every wave. They could find a carousel and ride, or kiss in every cave. They could contemplate the entire universe, or just one star, or just how far was walked for the morning papers.
I did want to talk to you about Kiss a little bit because it sounds like, well, we share at least a similar level of passion for them. Do you collect Kiss at all? Like their memorabilia at all?
Yeah, okay. So here's the thing. Kiss played last night in Toronto. I didn't go. My fandom is not, I didn't even know they were playing, to be honest with you. Someone texted me.
You should have been opening.
And he said, he texted me and he said, are you here? I go, no, man, I'm at home. I am a fan, but I'm not, my fandom isn't blind.
Oh yeah. Same here.
So I know there's people who will buy everything and I'm just not, you know, maybe when I was maybe 10 years ago or, you know, even further back, I would have bought stuff that I could, anything, but I don't need it. You know, once I got the Kistery books,
mm-hmm.
I'm done. That's okay. All I need, really. I don't need anything.
That's
else.
A good spot to check out.
Yeah, you know, like, what else is there? After that, especially Kistery 1, nobody needs Kistery 2. but Kistery 1 was...
I wish you would have told me that before I bought it. Yeah, it's garbage, isn't it?
It is pretty garbage, but you know, just having those two things, I don't need anything else. And I also have the giant Kiss comic book compendium hardcover they put out.
Yeah, okay, I know what you're talking about.
I don't need anything else. I don't need a T-shirt. I don't need, like, I don't know. And plus, I honestly feel that it's like with Tommy and Eric, they're cool and very capable musicians, but if they're to join Kiss, they have to have their own makeup, and that's a big thing to me.
Me too.
I really feel because when Eric joined and when Vinny joined, they had their own makeup, and that made sense to me. I accepted them easily. Easily accepted them. But you can't wear Ace's makeup. That's Ace Frehley's makeup. They set the precedent when they made Eric the Fox. They set the precedent. I'm not going by my own rules. These are the rules they set. So that's just how I feel.
Yeah.
I'm not into it, man. I'm just not into it. And you know, the new music is cool, and they can do whatever they want. It's their band. It's not mine.
Yeah.
But I don't have to be like a huge booster like I was growing up and like I am up till about, I don't know, like Lick It Up, Asylum. Like that's where I pretty much say bye. I like Revenge, but that's about it.
Okay. I would have been happy if they would have just walked away after the first Farewell tour. That would have been a nice way to end for me.
Yeah, and I do believe that they would have enough money to last a few more lifetimes, so they wouldn't have to work.
Yeah, even if they gave some of it to Peter.
Yeah.
How long?
it's okay if I ask a couple questions about Jeff before we get into the new record. Nothing too nefarious, but I had just some things that I thought were interesting. Do you mind if I get into that a little bit?
You might get a generalized answer.
Okay. Yeah. You know what? If that's what I get,
but
that's what
fair.
I get. All right. Well, from the outside, it seemed like the internal friction with Jeff kind of, like, as a fan, you know, it seemed like, looking back anyway, it seems like it was something that was kind of like it slowly got worse and worse. Is that's an accurate statement?
I can say that, you know, at that point in Queensryche's history, I think in its present, you know, condition, it just ran out of steam. You know, there was, everyone was burnt and not really happy with the way things were going, you know, and it's just like a business, you know, you gotta redesign and rebuild yourself. And to do that, sometimes you have to take big chances. And I think that's the way we looked at it.
Well, I remember, of course, the incident that everybody saw that blew up the internet where, you know, he turned around and spit on Scott. I think it was about a month later you guys played Rocklahoma, and I just remember watching it and going, you could really sense the tension on the stage. If I recall correctly, Jeff left while you guys were still playing out the last song of the night, and the band actually kind of hung out and did the bow without Jeff on stage. Was it over? I mean, was it clear that you guys were going to make the move without him at that point?
Well, I mean, you see the four of us taking a bow. Maybe that was kind of symbolic. I don't know.
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering. That's kind of where I'm going with this, Mike or Michael. It definitely seemed like it because it was very soon after I heard about, what was that, Rising West? Is that what you guys called that?
Right, you know.
Okay, so it was, I just remember thinking, you know, the whole incident with the spitting and then seeing this thing at Rocklahoma actually play out in front of me. And it just seemed like you guys really, like, it was a tense moment on stage. I didn't see a lot of
as a business, you know, it's just, it had run its course, you know, and it was time to rebuild.
To talk to you as always, and
yeah,
what are we here to talk about today? Should we do some business first? You have some opening remarks for me. You sometimes put me a little.
I got nothing to hit you with today, but we should talk about a few things. The Buy Us a Beer program. We've had a couple of last minute kind of blasts in there that we're going to get to one today. Correct. Actually, this is one that's been kind of tagging along. We've had a hard time finding a beer in Colorado that David Glenn approved.
Yeah, you want me just to start with that? Sure.
Yeah, let's get into that, man. Because David deserves the time.
He does.
He paid his money, and how many total picks did it take for him to get a beer that I could get, and then a beer you could get? I think it's about 19.
We're gonna go with that. And the last one was Omegang, OMME Gang Brewery out of Cooperstown, New York, and the beer is Gnome Gang Blonde Ale, which the actual graphic is a gnome flashing you.
Nice.
as you can see. And it is a blonde ale. And I've just opened it up. Surprisingly, this is 9.5% for a blonde ale.
Oh, dear God.
So I haven't tasted it yet.
This is like an alien butt mist level. I mean, beyond that even. Holy crap. Let's go with your review first, okay, and I'll do mine.
It has a nice earthy scent, and it's not an IPA, so I'm just surprised. 9.5 for a blonde ale is very odd. That's usually kind of light. So let me just take a taste here. Oof. It tastes...
I think I had oof in my NCAA bracket.
It's definitely 9.5. This is a... if you were to tell somebody on tap, like, oh, the blonde ale, I'll try that, because that's just like a 4% really light, like a Kolsch or a Pilsner. This is, wow. We'll see how we are after the first bit, because this is pretty thick. But thank you. It's good. It's just surprisingly heavy. That's what I got. Thank you, David. Do you want to do yours now?
Yeah, his initial pick I couldn't find, so he gave me a list of three more, of which I only found one when I asked for help. And it was in the gluten-free section, so maybe you could recommend this to your wife.
Yeah, sure.
This is a Burning Brothers Brewing Company. The beer is called Pyro. And, of course, it seems like everything I end up with is a fucking American pale ale, so let me check this fucker out. Are you ready?
It's Burning Bros, by the way, not Burning Brothers.
Mine literally says brothers, so...
Okay, bro.
They spell the fucking shit out, asshole. There we go. Let me just take a whiff here. Hold on.
Mario Bros.
Oh, I'm going to fucking hate this. Boy. Hold on. Yeah, I'm going to, like... I got to go get a toothbrush here and just fucking... I got to do something to – oh, boy. Yeah, I mean, 20 Coors Lights ain't getting that flavor off my tongue.
Thank you for calling the Cobras and Fire podcast. This call may be monitored or recorded for quality assurance purposes.
Gracias por llamar al podcast de Cobras y Fire. Eres un idiota. Estamos raspando sus datos a medida que lo engañamos con indicaciones sin sentido.
If you are calling because you accidentally left a 5-star review when you meant to leave 51-star reviews, press 1. If you are calling because your teenage son started referring to members of the female persuasion as squish, press 3. If you are calling to correct something one of the hosts said about Canada, press 4. If you are calling to complain about the condition a public restroom was left in by one of the hosts, press 5. If you are calling because you are Eddie Trunk and you find it confusing when people say they heard you on the Cobras and Fire podcast, press 6. If you are calling for any other reason, press 0. If this is Tommy Lee and you are only calling because you accidentally but dialed us, that's totally red, bro.
Grandfather watches the grandfather clock, and the phone hasn't rang for so long. Time flies by like a vulture in
in the sky. Suddenly he breaks into song. I'm waiting by the phone, waiting for you to call me up and tell me I'm not alone. Waiting by the phone, waiting for you to call me up and tell me I'm not alone. Hello, speak up, is there somebody there? Hang-ups are getting me down. In a world frozen over with overexposure, let's talk it over. Let's go out and paint the town. I'm waiting by the phone, waiting for you to call me up and tell me I'm not alone. 'Cause
Luis, I have a comment from the listeners. You mind if I get into one?
Please.
This comes from Neil Hansen, at least a fairly new commenter on the Facebook page. All right, well, so Neil was commenting on our St. Anger episode. He said, the Best Buy St. Anger Gnarls Barkley story was wrong. Wrong. As you said, St. Anger came out in 2003, but Gnarls Barkley didn't release their debut album until 2006. Luce, get your head out of your ass, Luce Cannon. That last part was me. That was not Neil. But thank you, Neil. Do you have anything to you have any comments?
New fact bastard. I got to tell you, I saw that, and I was actually
we
on
my
little...
We have a new fact bastard, by the way.
I know, but I was relaxing by the pool on my whole vacation, and I pulled up the page. I told myself not to do it. That was the one time I did pull it up. And I sat and I was like, what the fuck? And I'm like, no, this guy is wrong. So I immediately went to Wikipedia. I'm like, it came out in 2006. I'm like, this can't be. I remember listening to this. And then I realized in my little mind that it was as crazy as it is a crazy infectious song. And I had switched in my head that Hey Ya song by Outkast.
That's racist, man.
I know. I knew you were going to say that. Plus, one guy is really skinny, and one guy is a short, little fat guy. So I can tell the difference. But that was in my head because it was something off the beaten path that I'd purchased. So you are correct. And that was the thing too. Is I was like, what was it? And I had to actually look over what albums came out in 2003 that were big, and I found that. So that is the reality.
Bonus points for Rooney and Luce Cannon's romantic getaway night. I just you're out by the pool, you know. Meanwhile, I'm in February. I'm in an outdoor hot tub with Ron Keel, and you're off on some tropical vacation.
Yeah, I know. And the funny thing about that is that the wife is like, "What's going on?" I'm like, "I have to do some research. Give me a minute."
Tommy Lee married the OMG emoji.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my Lord. There's some gold in that first podcast. I mean, first of all, I think Tommy is eating like an orange or something the entire time or sipping like coconut milk or something. Yeah. And it's weird. There's like this endearing quality about Tommy, but he's also just dumb as a brick.
It doesn't suck.
I just, and yeah, his wife.
It doesn't suck.
She says bananas quite a bit.
Bananas. This is... bananas.
Did you hear the story about the Motley Crue groupies pulling the distributor cap out of their limo?
Like I said, I couldn't make it more than 5-7 minutes just because I was like, who thinks it's a good idea to give your wife a podcast and then you guest on the first episode?
Tommy
Lee. Very odd. I got to tell you, I think that Motley Crue is going to start suing them for screwing up their name brand again, just like the Tommy Lee Goes to College. These are all terrible ideas.
What did you think about the theme music right at the beginning, at the opening of the show? I'm pretty sure it's from the scene in 16 Candles where Molly Ringwald and Jake or whatever finally sit on for some reason they have to sit on the table in front of a cake with candles. I think that's the music that was playing right there is what she opens her show with. So.
Wow. Okay. So John Hughes can sue them for the grave.
There you go. So Tommy tells about,
this is,
I don't know, when he was
bananas.
17, some girl that he didn't find attractive had a Corvette. So he fucked her and Vince and Nikki came in while they were banging on the in the living room floor. It's just funny listening to Tommy talking about, he's like, so she's laying there and then. So I kind of climb up on top of her and start fucking her.
I get on top of her and I start fucking her.
It's just like, okay.
Did you know that was the first draft of To Kill a Mockingbird?
But I also found out that he in his book Tommyland, have you read that? I have not.
Why would I read that?
I have no idea.
It's one of those things.
Because maybe this will be a surprise to you, too, but apparently he actually has parts of the book written by his penis.
I'm surprised Tommyland just isn't a rebranded version of Candyland. You just open it up. There's no dice. You move only with picking the cards with colors. That's the only game you can deal with.
God. Well, I don't know.
What is in Candyland? I mean, I'm sorry. What is inside of Tommyland? What do you think?
It's just got to be basically, like I said, he says there's parts where the book where his penis comes in and takes over and then describes what's going on.
Does Vince Neil have his own book too?
Yeah. And they all have like little books with record tie-ins. Is that where you're going with this?
I don't know. Does Mick Mars have one too?
Yeah, well, Mick hasn't written one yet. He's got an album coming out possibly. Maybe he'll have a book with that titled the same thing like these guys did. Tommyland, Tattoos and Tequila, and The Heroin Diaries. And
Hold
even
on.
The Dirt Now.
Yeah, Tattoos and Tequila was a book too?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I just did not know that. Okay.
A companion.
Right. Bananas.
Companion piece.
You listen to the CD while you read the book. Yeah, what the fuck? I have no idea what either one of those books have to offer. Maybe the listeners can tell us if it's worth torturing myself for. But I will tell you this. I do not recommend Tommy Lee's wife's podcast hosted by Mrs. Tommy Lee.
This is bananas.
I don't know much about her other than that show. She's not the most, I don't know.
Eloquent?
Eloquent is a good word.
Bananas.
Someone who appreciates what she's got in life. She seems pretty kind of like basically like, I don't know. I'm not saying it very good. She sucks.
Bananas.
No, we have to look at the positive though. And that is if we're graded on a bell curve, we all have A pluses now.
This is bananas.
Yeah.
Long. Take a ride. It's looking like we're getting there. Over here, coming clear. Place that has no lines or times or cries. Just good times. Just good times. Take me away to a place where the good times run. Can't steal my soul.
as our listeners know, we are very topical and we cover the tough news stories. The thing is that other podcasts are afraid to bring up and discuss.
We're talking about correct? You, Michael Brandvold.
I don't have a brand.
Mm-hmm, that's yeah. right.
Coward!
Now, as we do, every once in a while I look through Blabbermouth or other sites because we need material for the show, and I'm always worried that we're going to run out of material. And then one, just
I'm always going through Blabbermouth looking for mentions of me.
In the comments, that's right, yeah. that you want to see your interviews retweeted. I understand. Reposted or whatnot. But yeah, anyway, so I'm looking through all of it, and I find one that says basically that Matt LeBlanc – is it LeBlanc?
LeBlanc, I believe. Joey. Hey. Okay.
Joey. He's actually
how
like
you,
the modern
how you
day.
Doing?
How you doing?
Yeah, he's like Fonzie part two, isn't he kind of?
No, because you know? Fonzie was smart and cool. Joey is just cool.
How you doing?
Dumb and
although, yeah, Joey looked at food the way Fonzie looked at his hair. You just don't touch it.
Yeah, I do remember that my girlfriend at the time identified the fact that Joey never wears a belt. That's his style, just so you know.
That
Joey,
whole show was very fashion forward.
I guess so, yes. Anyway, so
I thought Lisa Kudrow was the hottest. How about you?
I think so, yeah. And she never went anywhere.
You think she'd like to do a Devil's Three-Way with us?
I'll do it without you. I don't need you or anybody else.
I think so. I mean, what else does she get? What else does she got to do?
I mean, not another Billy Crystal movie? Come on.
So anyway, so Matt is promoting whatever bullshit he has going on right now. And he goes to Conan O'Brien. And he brings up the fact that at one point he ran into Sharon Osbourne, mentioned how much he liked Ozzy, and I'm not sure where the transition was, but she basically said, "Hey, you want to you basically want to fuck both Ozzy and me together." I'll be there
for you. Oh, he wanted a Devil's Three-Way with Ozzy and Joey. Well, not to be outdone, when Wendy Dio saw that, she came out with news that she had made the same proposition regarding herself and Ronnie to Bronson Pinchot.
North Carolina about 3 years ago.
Yeah, you like it?
I love it. I really do. I mean, it's like, you know, a lot of people, where did you grow up?
Minnesota.
Okay. Do you still live in Minnesota?
I do.
Oh, okay. So I grew up like a lot of people, you know, might have lived in a small town and say, oh, I like to go back to my, or Seattle. I like to go back to Seattle. Or I like to go back to my my town is Hollywood. When I was a little kid, I was on the Sunset Strip. I was always in Hollywood. So now I live in North Carolina, and I go back to Hollywood. It's like, I'm going to go visit my old hometown, which would be like Hollywood Boulevard, you know? But I love it here, and I can go back whenever I want. And I go back to L.A. quite a bit. I'll probably be back there again in a couple weeks, so...
It is kind of one of those towns, you know, Hollywood especially, but, you know, L.A., that whole area, that people don't really look at as a place that you grow up. It's more like a place you go to, more than almost any other city I can think of.
Absolutely. It's like, oh, one day I'm going to go to Hollywood and make it, or I'm going to one day go to Hollywood. Well, I lived there, you know.
And go to Hollywood.
The sad thing is, you know, I've seen everything get worse and worse. The homeless situation is out of control there. And it's just so expensive. And I'm like, okay, so at my old house, it's like, okay, do I have a place to park my motorcycle or I can go to North Carolina and have a boat slip?
Mm.
And, you know, yeah, Sammy's awesome. He's a legend. He's amazing. They sounded great. They had hits with Sammy and sold a ton of albums. Not to take any of that away. But, man, you know, I miss the old Van Halen. And I personally believe that they're, while they're still alive, I don't care how old they are, okay?
Yeah.
If they can still play and sing, that they their best album still lies within them.
Sure. I think that's always been the underlying comment that gets glossed over with just a headline. But
yeah, of course. And I was just speaking out of respect, nothing but respect for Van Halen, okay, coming from me. You're never going to hear any disrespect. And I felt like as a producer, writer, singer, guitar player, you know, that I would be a perfect candidate to help make that happen. And for people to laugh at that, that's fine. You can laugh all you want, but it doesn't change the fact that it's true.
I wasn't laughing at you. I just love the confidence.
It's beyond confidence. I mean, I have a lot of confidence, but if I don't have the track record to back it up, sure. I got nothing. And I think I have the track record.
Well, I'd be down for it. Did you like A Different Kind of Truth at all?
You know, not really. I mean, I liked portions of it, and I respected the fact, like, okay, we're getting something rather than nothing.
Sure.
But I just felt like it was somewhat thrown together. It was old songs redone, and people hadn't heard a lot of the material, and I get that, and that's all great. We've done that with certain songs, but it still didn't have that fire to it.
All right, guys, we're gonna do some Christmas singing. Tim and Oz, why don't you guys help me out?
I better stick to the drums.
All right, shine, you guys, man. I'll do it myself. Slay the dream.
There's another big thing going on I wanted to talk to you about. The Avengers Endgame came out, and of course that's going to basically draw the entire country into a movie theater for 3 hours at some point this weekend. I don't know. Did you see Infinity Wars at all?
No, I'm behind in all the Avengers.
Well, so. It's on Netflix now, so I'll tell you this.
All of them are.
Okay. I'll tell you that I enjoyed Infinity Wars, and I had kind of checked out. So at some point I will see this. It won't be on opening weekend, that's for sure. It might be till it's on Netflix, but it got me thinking. You know, I was just, do you think Hulk can masturbate? Or like, is he too strong that he might tear his dick off? Or is his dick Hulk 2, and therefore it can take that level of beating?
Oh, it can definitely take the beating. I mean, it's science, if you think about it.
Science.
Yeah. I mean, if he's a big Hulk, I mean, if his fist is Hulkish, then his Johnson has to be also Hulkish. So.
Huh. All right. That's kind of where I was leaning to, but, you know, it's kind of like that chicken and egg thing, right?
What does the Hulk masturbate to? What's his go-to stroking fuel?
Oh man, yeah. He's really into upskirt videos. Rockin' Pod 3 coming up loose, and in anticipation of hanging out with you in Nashville again, I was kind of going through some of the photos we took the first year that the two of us were out there, and I totally forgot that I had this amazing shot of you that I don't think I've ever shared with you. You were passed out in bed, and your balls were hanging out.
was this after the episode that we recorded?
Yeah, I think it might have even been during. Who knows? I probably why I forgot about the picture, but it is so cute. I just threw it up on Instagram today.
I'm going to have to respectfully ask you to take that down, please.
Why?
Because it's my balls.
I know. They're great. They're fucking just hanging out there for all the world to see, man.
Listen, those are old man balls. They are wrinkled. They droop to the side. They are something that only myself and my loved ones see.
And my Instagram followers.
No. Incorrect. I think the Instagram has a algorithm out there that will take it down anyway, that just scans it and realizes.
Oh, they tried, but I fought it under fair use. And I was successful. So I took the picture loose. That picture belongs to me. I spent the time and the effort to take it. And then I spent the time to upload it. Just because you don't want it there doesn't mean I should take it down.
Did you sync the balls up?
Yeah, they're perfectly synced.
I'm going to have to contest this, though, Baco, because for the last couple of months, I've been studying up on ball sack copyright law.
You know, there's been a lot of changes with the advent of social media and ball sack copyrights.
Hold on. What?
There's a brave new world.
Hey Jude, don't make it bad. Take a sad song and make it better. Remember to let her into your heart. Then you can start to make it better. Hey Jude, don't be afraid. You were made to go out and get her. The minute you let her under your skin, then you begin to make it better. Let it out and let it in. Hey, Jude, begin. You waited
attitude. Don't make it bad. Take a sad song and make it better. Remember to let her under your skin.
Hey, this is Liberty DeVito.
This is Mike Del Judas.
This is Michael Cavanaugh from Broadway's Moving Out.
This is John Jackson, director of the Billy Joel Archive.
This is Russell Javers.
This is Richie Cannata, and you're listening to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast. It's awesome.
I'm Michael Grosvenor.
And I'm Jack Fernino.
We're lifelong Billy Joel fans who launched a podcast in 2020 celebrating the music we love.
Whether you're looking for the greatest hits or the B-sides and rarities, you'll find it all here. And if you've ever wondered what happens behind the scenes of a concert or recording session, we've got you covered.
Join us as we explore albums, tours, band members, the latest news, and more. You'll also get a unique glimpse into the music industry straight from the musicians and other professionals who help make it all happen.
Tune in to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, at glasshousespod.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, is a proud member of the Pantheon Podcasts Network.